America tonight. Hey, everybody. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Coming up on this show, of course, we'll set the table for what's coming up in Washington, D.C. Oh, I know you can't wait for that, right? And also fill in the blanks for some of the things that happened over the weekend and some of the things that carry over from last week into this upcoming week. That's pretty much the name of the game, isn't it, in D.C.? Carry over. And one of the big carryovers has to be the reaction to Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona, the veto. And now it's not Arizona. It might be over. And there's been a lot of heavy reaction to that, both pro and against her veto. So Kansas City, Missouri, Mississippi, Ohio, Oregon, to name a few places, also in South Dakota, they're talking about the same thing. So Brewer, by vetoing a bill that would have let businesses close their doors to gay and lesbians, what happened there hasn't changed what's going on in some of these other states. So the fight to pass a similar law, or laws, in other words, is still flying around out there in some of the places that I mentioned. And you wonder if there'd be any effect at all by what the Arizona decision is. And, of course, every state's different, but the economics of it was the reason why, that's what Brewer specifically said in her press release, you know, the big reason was what it would do to the businesses in Arizona. SB 1062 was the name of the bill. And it was, to be specific about it, it was called the Preservation of Religious Freedom Act, which was introduced in to the legislature a couple of weeks ago. And anyway, you know, this is the same thing as what we're seeing in Georgia, for example. And in Georgia, it's moving through the House of Representatives. And it would allow a private company, because I got a lot of emails on this, would allow a private company to pretty much ignore state law that directly or even indirectly stops, curtails, if you will, denies a person's religious beliefs. And that's where they're really emphasizing that in Georgia. In Idaho, there are two different bills that are being considered. HB 426 would protect people making decisions out of religious convictions, including denying service to someone. And then there's another one that gives people protection against any kind of legal claim made against them in cases involving religious convictions. So they were smarter in the sense of trying to pass the one and then see right behind it the other one pass, because certainly that would have been one of the problems with Arizona. There would be massive litigation. So not only economically, for example, if the Super Bowl had pulled out, because the NFL is placing the Super Bowl in Arizona in 2015, and that they were threatening that that was going to happen. But there would also be a lot of litigation, and there they're trying to prevent that from happening. And now this is a big burning issue. In fact, as I said, we've gotten a lot of emails on it, and we're going to go to the mailbag a little bit later, because most of you were pretty much, there was no gray. You either thought Brewer made the right decision or didn't, and you're also handicapping what could happen in some of the, you know, in some of the other states. In the meantime, you know how it is here on America Tonight. The one thing that I hate to talk about this, and maybe it's because I hate when it happens. It's so sad, and usually it involves either something with the weather or misdirection or some such thing. And I was just in Hawaii, and of course, in Hawaii there are a lot of small planes. And a plane crashed just last week in Maui County. It was eerily close to where I was. The plane went down about a mile from the airport in Lanai City, and I guess the pilot, and this is why I bring this up, because it's a subject we talk about with commercial airliners. Now, this was a small plane, but the pilot complained of fatigue before the, you know, was complaining of fatigue before the crash. So that's sad. You know, if somebody's tired, they just should not be in the cockpit. Like I said, we've seen this in situations with commercial pilots. For example, the UPS pilots were complaining that they were tired before that fatal crash. And that, of course, was a big plane, just the two on it and all the packages and things that they were delivering. But before takeoff, the pilot confided, the captain confided to his co-pilot that he was a little concerned about how tired he was feeling. And you can hear that on the cockpit voice recorder. Now we're finally getting the details on what happened there. And this was last August when their plane, it was an Airbus A300, crashed just short of Birmingham, Alabama's airport just before, just before dawn is when that one happened. And the details of the conversation were finally revealed. And that's that whole black box, the cockpit recorder thing, and as I've mentioned already. And what the National Transportation Safety Board at the public hearing, what they said late last week is that they heard that the pilot was saying that he was a little tired, even though he had gotten a good night, the captain, even though he had gotten a good night's sleep. And so this goes to the safety thing. Luckily, that plane did not kill anyone on the ground because that would have even been more disastrous. But there's got to be some kind of safety net for this whole thing of being wiped out and getting on planes, whether it's packages in a big Airbus or you have more precious cargo of other souls on board. It just seems to me that this is where things are really falling down. And this is where the FAA, I think, has to have, and they have it. They have a fatigue risk management program, but this is where this really has to be enforced. And they say in the case of the package deliverers, the UPS pilots, a typical UPS pilot is on duty 70 hours a month and flies less than half of that time. So it seems as though they're trying to do that, right? But the captain, it was revealed, had flown 41 hours in the past 30 days before he flew. And, did that have anything to do with it? I mean, the commitment, of course, is to deliver the packages by morning, by 10 a.m. And I think that was the pressure and why he was talking about being, why he was talking about being tired. And I guess why I bring up the plane thing, because of the small Maui plane crash and now the revelations about the UPS pilots complaining of being tired is, boy, this is something to really watch. I mean, it really is. And so many of the pilots, especially the newer pilots who are paid hardly anything, which you just think of what you pay for flights and just the whole industry, but they have second and third jobs. And they have these houses where they actually flop, before they have a different name for it, before they take off on flights, where they have just a couple hours sleep. So absolutely crazy. All right, we have a lot of good stuff in store for you, some great re-racks from earlier in the week, what I think is some of the best interviews that we did along the way. And also a mailbag, like I said, a lot of people sounding off on Jan Brewer and what happened in Arizona and what that means for some of the other states who are looking at the potential of similar laws but concerned as well about the possibility of litigation. So Kate Delaney, America Tonight, hang through with us. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Does advertising on the Genesis Communications Radio Network actually bring positive results? Let's ask
Thomas Baldrick from Freeze-Dry Guy.
And do the GCN listeners let you know they heard your ad?
Customers do let us know they've heard Freeze-Dry Guy ads on GCN. They seem to be very loyal listeners to GCN, and they stay with those shows, and subsequently they stay with our business, too.
Looking for positive results? Contact Lee Wickenhauser at 877-996-4327, extension 107.
Good people need help. The Homeowners Association said we had weeds and fined us $25. We told them they had the wrong house. They said if we didn't pay it, they'd file a lien. Our attorney demanded photographs, witnesses, and told them if they couldn't provide this, they must cease and desist. Issue solved. Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
You're going to love this one here on America Tonight. We have the director of the Free Enterprise Project, Justin Danhof, with us. He's in our virtual green room. And, you know, we're always talking about, Justin, about fighting the good fight, some of the things that have happened, some cockamamie, lopsided things that have happened with some of these companies, and what they're portraying and what's really happening as you kind of peel back the layers. We'll explain that a little bit more if you haven't heard some of our discussions. And for a very long time, Justin and crew have been really duking it out with GE over their pursuit, let's say, of projects designed to reduce carbon dioxide because of this whole big balloon concern. I'm calling it the big fantasy balloon, the concern about climate change, because I'm talking about the amount of money. So the NCPPR has actually received an exciting notice from GE. I'm not going to steal the thunder from Justin. Justin, first of all, thanks for coming back on the show, and I'm sure you're shocked by what you're about to tell us.
Well, thanks for having me, Kate, and shocked, relieved, and happy all at the same time. For over 6 years at the National Center, we have been working to get GE to curb its corporatist, cronyist behavior when it comes to the environment. And we finally received this year through the shareholder resolution process a concession from General Electric. And General Electric has now, at our request, changed their corporate documentation, both online and in their corporate incorporation documents, to say that they are done. They are no longer going to pursue projects that are solely interested in combating so-called climate change, global warmism, whatever you want to call it, that they are no longer going to pursue these projects after many, many years deep in the trenches of pursuing said projects. So it's been a long time coming. It was a hard fight. And in the end, the PR battle, which I've waged by coming on shows like yours, Kate, has really paid off, and I think that it's a great victory for the free market, a great victory for GE stockholders, and a great victory for those who stand up for common sense and have been on the correct side of this entire climate change debate, because really, as you said, on the other side, it's all the pursuit of money. And on our side, it's been the pursuit of common sense and the actual science.
Yeah, and you think part of that is, and you and I have talked about this before, it's kind of like a shell game with climate change, because now you categorize, and the problem is with that is it's an easy, convenient way to pull money out and hope that no one's really paying close attention, and they say, oh, yeah, 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 that's important. So they build it up as though it's some monumental thing in the company itself, and then you peel it back a little bit further, and it's really not, is it?
No, not at all. So for 30 or 40 years, activists on the left have been pushing corporations to adopt what they haven't been able to get the federal government to adopt, which is these corporate social responsibility documents that all these companies are out there trying to reduce their carbon footprint, right? Well, at first, companies went kicking and screaming along with this, but then they realized they could get in on the game and they could game the system. So what do companies like General Electric do? Well, they build wind turbines, and then they go lobby the federal government to make sure that they get subsidies for those turbines and that anybody buying them also gets subsidies. So, you know, there's a lot of faux outrage when it comes out that General Electric paid no taxes last year. Well, you know why that is? Because John Q. taxpayers subsidized a lot of the green energy projects that General Electric was engaged in. That's not the sole reason they paid no taxes, but it's a lot of it. And General Electric really is the poster boy for this type of cronyism, because it goes well past wind turbines. When GM wasn't selling enough of the Chevy Volt, guess who came to bail them out? Well, GE, of course, because they got all the rebates for buying them. And, of course, Jeffrey Immelt, the CEO of General Electric, is a good friend with President Barack Obama. So, you know, one hand washes the other in this corporatist-type world, and two people end up holding the bag, the taxpayer and the investor. And so we at the National Center, these are the groups we look out for. We look out for the folks, while corporations are trying to rob us all blind in this pursuit of reduced carbon emissions for what it's been worth. And what it's been worth is not very much. And we're really glad that General Electric has come to this realization. And we hope it's a model for other companies. And believe me, we are going to be asking other companies to adopt this very same language going forward.
Yeah, will you use this? You know, hey, here's what's happened with GE. This is the battle that was waged, but here's what they're telling their shareholders right now. Will you dig up some of that? I mean, obviously you have that information. Will you use that as part of what you're doing with other companies?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to tip my hand fully, Kate, but let me tell you, this Friday I'll be at the Apple shareholder meeting out in Cupertino, California, and believe me, their CEO, Tim Cook, is going to be put on the spot to answer this very question, whether he's willing to engage with us and adopt the same language that General Electric has adopted. Because think about the stance on the other side, right? So GE adopted our proposal for a lot of reasons, but one of them is the PR campaign that we could have waged against them, and they knew was coming if they said no. What would they do? Tell their investors, sorry, guys, we're going to take the money that you worked hard to get, that you invested in our company, and we're going to give it to Al Gore so he can fly around on his private jet and give speeches about global warming. You know, like, this is the other side of the PR battle. So it's really, we're putting the companies between a rock and a hard place to tell your investors, are you wasting my money on this? Or when you engage in so-called sustainability, are you doing it with a profit motive? And, you know, is the shareholder value being protected? Because that's your fiduciary duty. So corporations all throughout this spring are going to be put on the spot by us to answer this very question.
Yeah, do you ever get any blowback from some of those groups after something like this happens?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the stack of hate mail on my desk, God. it gets pretty large, and it gets pretty vicious, and it's all ad hominem, though, because, you know, what are the people who really, really, truly believe in this global warming theory do? First of all, they call folks like me deniers, which harkens back to the Holocaust, and it's a very pejorative term. The president himself has used it when it comes to climate change. So, you know, we do get plenty of blowback at the National Center. You know, none of it bothers me because it's not fact-based, it's not argument-based, it's emotional, it's ad hominem, and that's what the other side has delved into. That's because they've lost many, many times at the Supreme Court. They've lost many times in the legislative battle when they tried to get cap and trade for CO2 put on this country, and they're angry about it, and they lash out because why? Because it's a money game for them, and apparently we're taking away some of their money.
I'm glad you said that because, you know, that's what will happen. I always say on this show, listen, I'm willing to listen to anyone that wants to talk about, like, have a serious conversation about what is fact and what isn't. And I think too much that gets floated out there because show me the facts. If you have the facts that turn my opinion around, bring them on. But don't you find the same thing? So you're going on that. You're saying, great, let's cull all the information. Because we're not trying, you're not trying to go down that same path. If somebody shows you hardcore information, then Justin changes his mind, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, right, they come out with their most recent report. They had 102 computer models. 102 computer models are wrong. Yet in their most recent report, they say their confidence in their theory went from 90 to 95% based on 102 failed computer models. So when these are the facts that they bring out and they bring to the table, I counter with the fact that 17 years there's been no warming, and my favorite quote from Gold in My Ear, folks, don't be humble, you're not that important. General Electric curbing some carbon emissions ain't going to do much when it comes to China and India and the world production. So, you know, go ahead and buy your Prius, but don't be humble because you're not that important.
Yeah, you think the shareholders, I would think, would be ecstatic about this because actually it saves them money, correct? That's what we bring this back around.
Oh, definitely. That's one of the more important points on this battle, too. And we've actually heard from many GE shareholders thanking us and applauding us for our work. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's not just about the shareholders, but that makes me feel good. GE's decision makes me feel good, and I think it really should make the American public feel better because, look, the global warming climate change trope has been going on for, you know, more than two decades. The science isn't bearing them out anymore, and, the American public is seeing through it. If you take opinion polls of what are the 10 most important issues when it comes to electing politicians or in your life these days, climate change doesn't even make the top 10 most polls anymore. So the public's starting to wake up. I'm trying to wake up corporate America one company after another, and I think the GE is a very good start.
All right. Excellent. Justin Danhoff, thanks so much for coming on from the National Center. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Kate. Have a great day.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284. That's 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganix.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Life's getting better.
Listening to this show knows how I feel about the Keystone XL pipeline. I don't understand, and I've said this for a long time. I talked to so many people who supported the Keystone XL pipeline years ago. Then suddenly everything changed. Now it's starting to change again, the landscape in Washington, as you have a couple of former Obama administration people who are saying that they've supported the pipeline, that they're out there in support of it. So, wow, this is a game changer, I think, anyway. So who better to talk to on this show than Dan Kish, Institute for Energy Research. He's got the skinny on all that kind of stuff. He's the Senior VP of Policy. Dan, as always, thanks for coming back on ATN.
Well, thanks for having me, Kate. I appreciate it.
Now that you've got some Obama guys, people that were part of the administration anyway, now saying what they're saying about supporting it, how much clout does that carry?
Probably not a lot with the president. I mean, actually what's happened is his former head of the United States Geological Survey, which is a pretty prestigious position who deals with resource analysis and that sort of thing for the government, came out and said that she supports it. She's a PhD scientist, and she came out. That was prefaced by a former Interior Secretary who's responsible for all the lands when he was Secretary under Obama, saying the same thing. And then there have been others, including actually, but I think in answer to your question, the real important comment that came out about it was the president's former energy secretary, Stephen Chu, who was a Nobel Prize winning scientist, who said that this is not a science question. It never has been. This is a political question. And that one didn't get a lot of press, but he also said that a couple of weeks ago. So I think that's really what this is. What we're looking at is, despite all the studies and the talk and all the rest, it's pretty obvious the government's reports keep coming back saying there's not a big issue here in terms of the environment, despite what the opponents say, and that there's no reason not to say that it's in the national interest for the United States to join with our neighbors and friends Canada to build this pipeline and make North America that much more secure.
Yeah, I thought Stephen Chu, it's interesting you bring that up, because I thought Stephen Chu a few years ago was the one who basically was saying that they had the green light, and then all of a sudden it was like he went mute. You know, you never heard from him again because there started to be protests. And I think that's where that all came from, because there was a lot of protests about the environment and what was going to happen, all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Wrapped around the
sure.
White House. And so I think that there was some strong arming going on, and all of a sudden he was quiet, because I'm positive at some point he said, yeah, we've gone through the environmental studies, and then all of a sudden there had to be more. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. And you're right. I mean, this kind of cropped up from nowhere. We've been building pipelines in the U.S. Kate, believe it or not, we have over 2 million miles of energy pipelines in the United States, including in all of our backyard. You know, if your house runs on natural gas, or if you use it in your house, you have an energy pipeline running right up to your house. That's how it gets there. It's underground. And then, of course, all the connections, much of our oil and much of the products that we use, gasoline, heating oil, diesel fuel, much of that is transported. We see some of it in trucks on the road, but most of it is transported by pipeline. And there's never been an issue with it, and all of a sudden this became an issue, and it's largely opponents of the use of oil and gas and gasoline and the like who have decided to draw a line in the sand on the Keystone Pipeline and say no more. Makes you wonder what they're going to call for next, because ultimately if we can't use that, are we going to say we can't produce oil here? Or are we going to say we're not bringing it in from Venezuela or the Middle East or other places? Because one could make the same argument about all of those sources. And my guess is that's the real goal, because that is consistent with their position of not using any fossil energy. And unfortunately, this country runs 85% of the energy that we use in this country comes from fossil energy. So that would be a rude awakening for a lot of people.
Yeah, no kidding. The the Canadians, how long do you think they play patient on this before the Chinese, who would love to have it come out on the other side of Canada, just swoop in, and the money's just too much for them because they've waited and waited? And I know Canada wants this to go through the United States, but at some point they're going to say, okay, uncle, you know, we give. Are you concerned about that and just completely seeing the pipeline slip away?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the most recent report, which is the, I believe, the fifth or sixth environmental report on this that the government is required to be done, looked at that whole issue and said that the reason this doesn't have any substantial impact is that oil is going to be used whether we use it here or not. Canada is going to sell its oil. They have huge amounts of oil, Middle Eastern rivaling supplies of oil. Of course, we've got a lot here too, but they're going to sell it to them. And right now, I think the Canadians have already learned a big lesson about the United States. I about said good. I don't think it's been a good lesson from our perspective, because after all, they are our number one trading partner, an ally. We speak the same language. We have basically the same values. Ultimately, and we benefit more from a barrel of oil coming across the border from Canada than we do from any other country in the world. Much more of Americans' work and dollars go into that than, for example, in a barrel of oil we buy out of the Middle East. They use all of our equipment, much of our brain power in order to make that happen. So I think they're already getting cold feet and beginning to look. We may have driven them into the arms of other people around the world by us spending almost 6 years trying to figure out whether, and this is the key question, this is in the national interest or not. That's the decision the president has to make. Is this in the national interest or not of the United States to get oil from Canada? The rest of the sentence should go like this, because it's the truth, or should we get it from the Middle East and from Venezuela and from other places that might not like us?
Yeah, the other part of this is the thing that we keep talking about is jobs, jobs, jobs. And, you know, some people, Dan, will poo-poo this and say, oh, yeah, that's, you know, they're temporary jobs. But I've talked to people in the industry, and they say, no, I wouldn't just throw that out. These are some really good jobs that people need, especially if you look at where the pipeline would flow, where, you know, where it would go, basically. And it really would create jobs, wouldn't it?
Oh, of course. Not only in the construction, which, granted, is temporary, but nobody makes an argument against a office building being put up in a city because, you know, the construction jobs are only going to last a short period of time. I mean, after all, cities go out and states, actually, states go out and buy against each other to offer the most attractive terms to companies that want to come, for example, and build a automobile plant or something. This is a multi-billion dollar investment in the United States that would hire tens of thousands. 40,000 is, according to the State Department, the Obama administration's own report, 42,000 year jobs. So if it takes 2 years, that'd be 21,000 high-paying jobs for those people building it. And then, of course, there's the added benefits. I mean, anytime we've got a steady and secure supply of oil coming across our border, it means we've got more energy, which hopefully will lessen the cost of energy here in the United States. And whenever the price of energy goes down, it means people have more money to spend on other things. It means our businesses can compete because they don't have to pay as much for energy. Maybe they can pay higher wages to their workers. Maybe they can stay in business if they're a marginal business. And so anytime somebody tells me that it might cut the cost of my gasoline or the cost of the transport of my of the products that I order, if I was in a business, that would be very attractive to me, and that's exactly what the Keystone Pipeline promises.
Yeah, and, you know, we keep looking at, we look at the unemployment numbers, which to me, they're kind of a dupe anyway, as there's people that are underemployed or there are people that have just given up, as you know. And this is perfect because it would be right in their wheelhouse. Now, even if the high sign was given, it would still take a while for this to kick in. How far away? I mean, if tomorrow was like, okay, this is it. We're voting. We're in. We're done. The administration says yes to this. It would still take a while, wouldn't it?
Oh, sure. It takes a while. Anytime you mobilize a force like that, which is literally an army of workers, you're going to have to pull all the equipment together. They have purchased a lot of the pipe and that sort of thing, have stockpiled some of it, but you're going to have to pull workers from various places and get set up and go forward. And my guess is the opponents, regardless of what the president says, and maybe depending on how the president says it, we'll continue to try to figure out ways to try to stop this. It's the United States, Kate, I mean, I don't know if people really realize this, but it's become more difficult to build things in the United States than almost any country on Earth, including Europe and other places. Europe has no problems like this. They build things.
Yeah.
And so we put ourselves at a competitive disadvantage because if I'm looking around the world where I want to invest money and where I want to start something in order to make it begin to pay back the money that I borrowed to do it, I look around the world and I say, well, I may or may not get a permit there, and it may take 5 or 10 years to get that permit over here. I can work, they're willing to work with me, and I can start making money in 3 years. I'm probably going to go in a 3-year place because markets can change and all the rest. It's a very bad signal.
Yeah, I agree.
This has become an international issue, and that the United States stands athwart some people who are willing to invest billions of dollars here and hire Americans to do it.
I know. Dan Kish, we got to fly. IER's senior VP, thanks so much of policy. We appreciate it.
Hey, Kate, always great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Usually I get along.
Boy. Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain, normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
All right, once again, no surprise, as always, this audience, I know I probably say it too much, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but big shout out to all of you for participating in the way of sending me lots of emails for the miracle of Al Gore's internet. So once again, America Tonight's mailbag is crowded. Let's head there.
You have mail, mistress.
Checking our first one, this one from Dave, who says, Kate, I just got to say, I love Izzy from Missouri when she calls in, and I bet you she is one cool lady to hang out with. And I also feel as though she stands by her convictions. But I think the whole Arizona thing was ridiculous. Come on, religious freedom law. Can we not just leave gay people alone? And listen, I'm a conservative. I'm a married man. I've been married for a long time. But to openly discriminate against somebody who is gay, a lesbian, whatever, is just so ridiculous and so antiquated. It makes America look like a bunch of buffoons. I know I probably part company with half of my conservative brethren, but it just makes no allowances for anything, not to mention it's economically crippling. So if all these conservatives are so concerned about small businesses, then they would have agreed with what Jan Brewer had to do, and they would leave her alone. Boy, they sang her praises when she went out on a limb the last time when it came to being challenged by Eric Holder and sued by the government. Now, this time, they don't like the way it went. Boo-hoo. Sorry, I just had to vent. Izzy, if you're listening, I still love you. I love that. That's like the backhanded compliment. I think you're great. You stand by your convictions. Well, I mean, strictly, it was a business thing. Now, yeah, I mean, if you think that's the right thing to do, then you think that she bowed down. And the Tea Party is upset by it. Upset in the sense that they thought that she succumbed to the pressure. But, hey, there's no doubt the NFL was pulling out. And that's a ton of money. And you did have conservative business people that were furious that told her not to do that, that it doesn't make any sense and it's going to cause more problems than anything. And so, you know, don't do it. And ultimately, Brewer said she felt that the Senate bill didn't address specific dangers to religious freedom. And she said, and this was the big takeaway from her press release, she said it could divide Arizona in ways we can't even imagine. And she said, you know, she tuned out public pressure that that's not true, and she made the decision she felt was right. And I've already talked about this, there are other states who are considering, in a kind of different versions, the same thing. All right, let's turn to this one. This is from Jan, who says, Kate, I'm a big fan of the show, I have to tell you. I love it when you mix in some of the funny stuff. You need to do more of that more often. I'll get just the biggest kick out of some of the stories. I do want to say, when I look at what is happening in the sports world, my goodness, I think we prop up half of these athletes way too much. That Richie Incognito thing that happened in Miami was just an embarrassment. And what a shambles it's turned that team into. You know, they would have been smart to just deal with it head on. I mean, now we're dealing with bullying in the locker room. I mean, come on. That's just ridiculous. Yeah, you're ending there. Jan's ending there with, that's just ridiculous. So I'm not sure which way you're going with that's just ridiculous or not. But it's interesting that you bring up Incognito because he just smashed. I just read this, too. He just smashed. He admitted to smashing his Ferrari with a baseball bat. I mean, obviously, he's got a few little temperament issues. And, you know, what happened was neighbors noticed that the car was smashed up with part of a baseball bat sticking out of the front end. So, yeah, there was a problem there. So the Scottsdale police found it out. And, you know, here's the thing. The upshot is he was a good player when he was in his time with the Dolphins anyway. But NFL-wise, now because of everything that happened, his future is a coin flip. It's up in the air. It's up in the air. Ever since he's been suspended in the last season, 2013, 8 games, right? Before that all wrapped up, 8 games he was suspended. And so now it's like he's having things happen to him. So really the question is a team going to sign him? Will he be a free agent or will someone sign him after all that happened in Miami? I'm really emphasizing too much on this, but the whole bullying thing, I guess. Here's one from Slammin' Sam. Kate, no time, long, no talk. Wanted to ask you your thoughts on the Ukraine and what you think is ultimately going to happen there. Do you think Russia ends up taking over, or do you think they remain independent? Oh, I think they remain independent. Are you kidding? It's a question of can they satisfactorily stand up as a country, meaning even financially, because already the United States has committed to $1 billion in a loan, a guaranteed loan, and that's not enough. You have other European countries who are kicking in. You have the International Monetary Fund is going to do the same thing. So that's the question. The question is, can they stand up as their own country, like they have been doing since the early 90s, but because of this crazy president who lived in this palatial estate and was just a thief, that, you know, you got to turn that around, get those elections going, and turn the thought around, the thought patterns, I think, around in the Ukraine. I can't blame any of the people for protesting. I mean, come on, give me a break. Here's one from Joe in Illinois who says, Kate, I'll be glad when this weather passes. I'm really tired of being freezing cold. March almost here. That's exciting stuff. I know you covered the Costa Concordia a bunch. I think you even mentioned that one of your friends saw the cruise liner when it was actually laid over. Do you know that they actually took the captain back on the boat for the first time since that boat crashed into the rocks? I guess this was part of the whole trial thing. And boy, it certainly has taken a long time. Do you think that he'll be sentenced for what happened on that boat? That's a big question. Francesco Scatini is his name, the captain Scatini, or Scatino, something like that. Anyway, he denies that he did anything wrong. He says he took responsibility for his actions. Witnesses say that he jumped into a lifeboat, this was the big story, to get away from the ship, even though hundreds of passengers were still on board. He says he fell into a lifeboat when the ship drifted, or they call it listed. It listed sharply, and that threw him into a lifeboat. Yeah, right. So, anyway, will he do any time? I mean, this was a nightmare for how long it was there, for the people that were killed. It could have even been worse than that. They were able to salvage it and pull it back up. I think there's a good possibility that absolutely that happens. We'll see what goes on with the trial, but sure, because of the jumping off the boat, what did he do? Did he turn it in the right direction before the impact? All the details of that. I would not be shocked anyway. Manslaughter, I think, is the thing they're talking about. All right, we move from that ship, boy, cruise ships, the Costa Concordia, then all those noroviruses and stuff. There's always something going on with cruise ships, but still one of the most popular ways to travel, period. I mean, the cruise ship industry is not hurting one bit. I just had this conversation with a travel agent. People are taking all kinds of cruises, still small, enormous ones where they go to the Amazon and whatnot. So it hasn't waned in any way. Here's one from Marty who says, Kate, this is the first time that I've emailed the show. I heard you talking about the nutrition labels and the fact that they're going to change, but it'll take a couple of years for it to happen. And one of the things they're going to change is the serving size requirements. And I have to say, I say bravo to that because they're not accurate. And people don't, if they are reading the labels, they're not really sure calorie-wise and sugar-wise what they're ingesting. I think that the whole trans fat thing, I think that the diseases that are happening, I mean, maybe some people will be saved as a result of it. So what if the companies have to pay more? I think it's a smart idea. After all, 20-some years ago when they decided to put the labels on, wasn't it about knowing about your food? If we all knew a little bit more, I don't know, maybe we'd be a little bit healthier. It doesn't guarantee you anything in life, let's be honest about that, but a little healthy may help in the long run. Just my two cents, as you would say. Well, yeah, that's the thing. The serving sizes especially are so off. So yogurts, all that kind of stuff. I mean, everything would be done. Everything would be re-measured. That's the key with this. But it's not going to be, I mean, if it happened in 4 years, that would be pretty fast. 3 to 4 years, probably at the most. All right, thanks for emailing the show. Remember, you can do the same if you're listening, americatonight.net.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.